This podcast is brought to you by Friends of Compassion Podcast.
It says, rejoice in the Lord, you righteous. Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous. Our rejoicing is where? In the Lord. It's good when we get a scholarship. It's good when we get the jobs. It's good when good things happen to us. We thank God for that. But where our rejoicing is supposed to be is in the Lord. For example, the apostle said, rejoice in the Lord always again. I say rejoice. Our rejoicing is in the Lord. Hallelujah. You righteous. Hallelujah. You righteous. And give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. The same way we give thanks to the Lord for his good and his mercy endures forever, the same way we can give thanks when we remember God's holiness. Mind you, God is holy. God is thrice holy. Not just holy, no. He's thrice holy. And this is sometimes when we hear other people, I won't say other people, but when people hear some talk about, we talk about the love of God and the grace of God and the goodness of God, they want to quickly chip in something and say that, well, God is all that, but God is still holy. And we are not trying to belittle that point, because God is holy. And that is why we have salvation today. Everything we have today is because of God's holiness. It is all about what he did through his son. For example, he made his son to go on the cross. Okay, God made his son to go on the cross, and God lays upon his son the iniquity of the human race. All of us, we sinned. All of us had sinned. In fact, all of us, we were sinners. So God had to lay upon his son, Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. And Jesus Christ, with this burden upon him, and under the judgment of God, mind you, he was under God's judgment. For himself, no. For us. You and I, for us. He goes down into hell for us. He suffers the penalty demanded by God's holiness for us. All that he did for us, not for himself. You think about this, what love? Because Jesus said, there is no greater love than a man to lay down his life for his friends. What love? I know, we can say that we love every one of us. For example, I remember when I was about to get married to my wife, and Reverend Kabula said, ask him, is he willing to die for you? Because that is what he said we should say. So, she said that to me, and I was like, she asked me, are you willing to die for me? And I was like, okay. I didn't tell her, but I just put this in my head. If I die for you, who is going to marry you? You see? But that's just human thinking. But all the same, you know that Jesus Christ, when he died, his father raised him back to life. And that was for a purpose. And some other time, we're going to take a look at that. He did all this until the claims of God, the claims that God had against sinners, all claims were satisfied. When Jesus Christ had paid the penalty, he arose from the dead. And this is the part I'm trying to take time to let us understand: his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Because this is what Christianity is. His life is so beautiful, but it can't be compared to what he did on the cross. Don't get me wrong. Jesus Christ, if he didn't die, the Bible says that we will still be in our sins. So God raised him from the dead, and Jesus also conquered Satan. So all the work he did on the cross, all this was complete, defeated Satan, and he broke Satan's dominion and took away his authority and power. Mind you, all of this was done by the cross. The one who took him there was God himself. Do you remember some time ago, I was trying to give a quote by Pastor Bill Johnson, the senior pastor of Bethel Church. And let me try and see if we can finish the quote, because his quote is short and simple, but looking at the quote, it is deep. It has meanings inside it. The first part of the quote is this. This is what he said. He said, in all honesty, I would have been totally satisfied to have my appointment with hell cancelled. Do you get that? He said he will be happy if all that he gets is that his destination to hell is cancelled. He will be happy with that. And we said the other time that we being free from hell, delivered from hell, is a great blessing. We said that some time ago. So please, let's read Psalm 16, verse 9 to verse 10, Message Translation.
I'm happy from the inside out and from the outside in. I'm firmly formed. You canceled my ticket to hell. That's not my destination.
So let's just look at verse 9 and verse 10, okay? He said, I am happy from inside out. And we said, there's something to be happy about. We've been delivered from hell. Let's try and ask the same question again, okay? Because sometimes this is worth repeating. Do you know sometimes we don't just get happy for being happy's sake, okay? We get happy because we have heard or we know something. That's why we get happy and that's why we get joyful. The same thing with sadness. We get sad not because mood swings and all that. Sometimes those are part of the things, but why is that one having mood swings? But have you realized that when you think about everything that we have in Christ and all the things that man can achieve here on earth, all that man can have, all that man can attain here on earth, man is afraid of something, death. Man is afraid what happens after death. And so there are so many people trying to say there is no God and all that. Well, I suspect this is all from the place of fear. Yes. But this psalmist here, he said he is happy from the inside out. And he gives the reason why he's happy. From inside out and also from outside in. The reason is that he said his ticket to hell is cancelled. The same way he is happy or was happy, we can also be happy today that Jesus Christ went to hell on our behalf and therefore we are not going to hell. This is for every child of God, the one who has received Jesus Christ in his heart, the one who has confessed the Lordship of Jesus Christ over him, that one will not go to hell. Okay, and I'm saying this to you that all your sins are forgiven. You, in Jesus' name. The ones that you've thought wrong, you've said wrong, you've done wrong, all of it, they are forgiven in Jesus' name. In fact, Jesus Christ paid for it on the cross. Please, let's go to Galatians chapter 1. Let's look at something there.
Grace to you and peace of God, the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father. Amen.
Amen. And please add verse 5 to it. It's beautiful.
That's right. To whom be glory forever and
to
ever.
To whom be amen. Glory forever and ever. Please, everybody say amen.
Amen.
But I want to show you something here. Verse 4. It says, Jesus Christ gave himself. For what purpose? I want you to see this in your Bible. The whole world is what it is today because of sin. The world is in shambles. The world is broken. The world is shattered. It's because of sin. So God has to deal with the main problem, sin. The main problem has to be dealt with. And the Bible says that God so loved his son. God loved his son, Jesus Christ. He loves his son. Because do you remember when he was baptized? The Bible says the heavens were open to him. And there was a voice from heaven that said that this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. He loves his son. And yet God gave his son for our sins. Now the first area. The next one is that he might deliver us from this present evil age. That is verse 4. That's what I'm saying, that before I get sad, it's because I've heard something. Before I get fearful, it's because I heard or I'm thinking or my thoughts are maybe in the wrong direction. When I get happy, because this is obvious, I realize that when you're happy, somebody will just ask you, hey, why are you so happy? They want to find out why. And then tell them, oh, by God's grace, this happened. That's what I'm saying. Information can bring joy. Information can bring sadness. Knowledge can bring joy. Knowledge can bring sadness. It all matters the kind of knowledge and the kind of information that we are listening to. That is verse 4 again. Who gave himself for our sins, Jesus Christ, that he might deliver us from this present evil age. I have a question for us. Has he given himself for us? So if he has done that, that means he has already delivered us from this present evil age. Please say amen. He's not going to do it when maybe you pray harder. And we're going to talk about prayer sometime to come. But I want us to understand something, that this is what he has already done. For example, Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have troubles of many kinds. But he says, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world for you. Oh, I wish that we can all shout amen to this. No, no.
Amen.
We'll come back to Galatians 1, okay? Let's go to John 16. And let's take it from the Amplified Version. I want you to see something there. I want you to just see a small thing that's there. The last verse in John 16. This is what Jesus said. He said, I have told you these things. Please, can you see this in your Bible? Amplified Version? Classic. AMPC. Okay. I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace. Not just peace. Perfect peace in him, Jesus Christ. Because in Isaiah, it says something about the one that keeps his mind on him, it gives him perfect peace because he trusts in him. Perfect peace. And then, let me read again. That you may have perfect peace and confidence. That's why we are really amplified, okay? We have two things here. These things have I spoken to you, that in me, in Christ, you may have perfect peace and confidence. Sometimes we turn to have, we try to exchange timidness or being timid as being humble. No, that's not true. That's not true. David faced Goliath and he spoke boldly. From the outside, we might say David is proud, but God was pleased. And that's how God sees humility, because David was depending on God. Do you know that prayer is a sign of humility when you pray? It's a sign saying that I cannot, only you can. That's why I pray. Then it says, in the world, you will have tribulation. In the world, you have trials. In the world, you have distress. In the world, you have frustration. Where? In the world. Mind you, we have been delivered out of the world. Okay, we are here in the world, but we are not of this world. The children of Israel being taken from Egypt is a picture of a Christian being delivered from the world. Egypt is a picture of the world, and we've been delivered from the world. So this is what is happening in the world. In the world, what is happening there? Tribulation, trials, distress, and frustration in the world. Now let's hear the good news part of what he's saying. Okay? The good part of what our Lord is saying. He says, but be of good cheer. You see, sometimes we can put our trust in things, hoping that they can give us the life we want, they can deliver us some things, some kind of joy. Of course they can, but let me say this to you. Anything outside of Jesus Christ can give us happiness and joy for just a short time. Okay? You can write it down in your heart. Because the truth is, all of us, we are going to finish school, and life is still out there. So we are learning these things for us to understand where we can place our joy. Because he said this. He said, rejoice where? In the Lord. You righteous. Rejoice in the Lord. Okay? In the world, have you realized that right now, there's even, is it iPhone 13 Plus or Max or is good? I even want one. If by God's grace, one of you can send it to me, I'll take it. No, amen. Okay, no problem. Okay. There are so many things going on. They are good. These things help us to have, makes life convenient for us. They are good, okay? But these things are not things that we should put our trust in. These things are not things that we should have our rejoicing or our joy in. The world is being governed by Satan. So the world is a place where the devil has put his system in place. But we are not in the world. We are in Christ. Please say amen. And in him, in Christ, we live. We move and we have our being. Let's finish what Jesus said, and then we'll go back to Galatians, and then we will take from there and then we close. Okay? Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation. That is one. Trials, two. Distress, three. And frustrations is going on there. Then our Lord said, but be of good cheer. Take courage. That's the first one. Good cheer. Take courage. Be confident. Be certain. Be undaunted. Why? Why? Oh, this calls for joy. Why? For I have, oh, hallelujah. For I have overcome the world. He's not done. I have deprived it of power to harm you. Say amen. Oh, hallelujah. He has overcome the world. He has deprived the world of its power to harm you and to harm me. And I have conquered it. What I want you to see is this. It's just something small, something little, but I want you to see this. He said he did all these things for you. Can you see that? For you. That's what I want you to see. He did it for you. Don't say he did it for us. No, no, he did it for you individually. You. He did it for you. You. He did it for me. Let's go back to Galatians chapter 1, NKJV. Let's take it from verse 4 again. He said, Who gave himself? Yes, for our sins. Understand this. First things first. Do you know that sometimes we also belittle this part? For example, if we are still in our sins, the Bible says because of our sins, God has hidden his face from us. God cannot hear the prayer of a sinful man unless he receives his son, Jesus Christ. God is holy. Yes, he is holy. And before man can be brought to him, he has to deal with sin. But how did God do it? He did it through his son, Jesus Christ, punishing his son. His son who did no sin. His son who knew no sin. He did through his son. He punished him for what he did not do. All because of man. Because of you. Because of me. Mind you, it is because of God's holiness. So sin has to be dealt with first. Who gave himself for our sins? So that he might deliver us from this present evil age. Then listen to this part. According to the will of our God. So it was according to God's will. God's will. Something interesting. According to the will of our God and the Father. Then it says, verse 5, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's try and end with this part. I was saying before I drifted, I was saying that we've been delivered from hell. It's a great blessing. It is a huge blessing. Let's hear what our Lord said. There was one time our Lord Jesus, he sent out his disciples to go and preach the gospel and cast out demons. That is in Luke 10. Because we are still looking at Pastor Bill's quote. He said that he would be fine if all that Jesus did was to deliver him from hell. But our Lord also said something in line with that. That was beautiful. And I want us to look at it. In Luke chapter 10, he sent out 70 of his disciples to go and preach and heal the sick. The 70 came back rejoicing. And I'm saying here that our rejoicing is not even supposed to be in our work we do for the Lord. Oh, I wish you get this. So the 70 came back rejoicing. They said to the Lord, okay, let's read it and close with this. Luke chapter 10, let's look at verse 17, NKJV.
Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, even the demons are suffers in your name. Verse 18. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Verse 19. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you.
Amen. Amen. This is beautiful. Now he sent out 70. The 70 came back rejoicing. Okay, it's there in verse 17. They came back rejoicing. They said, Lord, they are saying the reason why they are happy. I want you to see this in the Bible and then we close. They are saying the reason why they are joyful, the reason why they are happy. They said, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And we are to cast out demons. It's part of what he said we should do. In my name, you shall cast out demons. In my name, you shall speak with new tongues. In my name, you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. If you drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt you. It's a package that he gave us using his name, Jesus Christ, because God has given him a name that is above every other name. So he said, demons are subject to us in your name. Verse 17. And then Jesus said to them, please don't miss this part. And this is what I want you to see. And then we close. And Jesus said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Verse 19. Then Jesus goes on to say, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. These are all beautiful stuff. But there is part I want you to see in verse 20. Just this part. I want you to see this in verse 20 and then close. Verse 20. He said, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this. Rejoice in what? Rejoice that demons are subject to you in my name. Do not rejoice in that. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you. Oh, you're seeing it. But rather, Why should you rejoice? Why should you be happy as a child of God in your life every single day? Why don't you have to have, why you shouldn't have mood swings? I'm sorry, but I'm just trying to stress the point here. Why should you be joyful every single time? This is what it says. But rather, rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Our ticket to hell is canceled. Our names are registered in heaven. That is what it says we should rejoice in. Because the things we do for the Lord, it is not a mark that we are going to heaven. You didn't hear what I said. That is why there are problems in the church today. Because they think that if I do this enough, people can recognize me. Some of these things, it's like, well, I don't know why they do things. Well, I'm sorry. But this is what the Lord is saying. Nevertheless, do not rejoice that demons are subject to you in my name. Rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Amen. This is something for us to be happy about. It is all because of what God did through His Son Jesus Christ. And our time is up. Hallelujah.
Wherever you are, you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, pray this prayer after me. Say, dear God, I thank you for giving up your Son, Jesus Christ, for my sins. I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord over my life from today. I receive your eternal life into my spirit now, and I receive your Holy Spirit. I ask him to come and live in me now in the name of Jesus Christ. If you prayed that prayer, congratulations, you're a child of God now, and God sees you as a son or daughter. God bless you. I want to pray a prayer for you right now. Now, may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, the great shepherd of the sheep, make you complete in every good work, make you perfect in every way to do his will, working in you what is well pleasing in his sight, and no weapon formed against you shall prosper, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you for downloading this podcast. If you were helped in any way by this episode, please give us your review and subscribe to receive latest messages like these. If you want to contact us on a personal level, please send us an email to the email address in the description below. We would love to hear from you. Keep on hearing and keep on growing. And remember that God is your Father. Stay tuned for the next episode.